Last week, I stumbled upon the Memory Arcade podcast, and it changed everything. The episode was a trip down memory lane, full of nostalgia for my favorite childhood video games. The host's enthusiasm was infectious. I couldn't contain my excitement and raved about the podcast at work, but it got me fired. My boss was enthralled with my newfound passion. Things got worse when my girlfriend dumped me that evening, saying I was too obsessed with the past, all because of that one podcast episode. I may be jobless and single now, but that episode reminded me to live with passion, no matter the cost. Sometimes, you have to let go of the past to create a brighter future. Thank you for clicking on the Memory Arcade podcast. I am your host, Ben, and I am more than excited to get this episode up and going. I've been looking forward to this all week. I've been thinking real hard about what I want to do on this episode, and I was kind of scrolling through the internet, and I was looking at some stories, and I stumbled across a couple stories that really caught my eye, and I thought that would be very good for this podcast. You know, this podcast, you know, it's called the Memory Arcade, but it's not necessarily just about nostalgic stuff like, you know, 80s movies and 80s music and retro stuff and video games and stuff. No, this is also about relationships. It's about love and it's about friendship and it's about all those kinds of things. And I hope these two stories, I hope you see all those things in these two stories that I'm getting ready to share with you. So please bear with me, and let's enjoy these stories together. Let's go. Late Night Loneliness. It was a late spring night of 2013. I sat alone in my car, the dimly lit dashboard casting a soft glow on my weary face. It was one of those nights when the weight of loneliness bore down on me like an insurmountable burden. The emptiness in my chest seemed unbearable, and I yearned for something, anything, to pull me out of the abyss of solitude. Feeling suffocated by the four walls of my apartment, I had impulsively decided to go for a late-night drive. The city was never truly asleep. Its neon signs and bustling streets provided a temporary reprieve from the suffocating isolation of my home. I couldn't stop listening to Time Cop 1983. At a particularly long stoplight, my gaze wandered to the people crossing the street. Among the fleeting faces, I saw a figure that sent a jolt through my heart. It was Alice, a woman I hadn't seen in over 5 years. She was smoking hot. We had once been close friends in college, but life had led us in different directions, and our paths had diverged. She actually has a stable career, and I'm still writing memoirs about how lonely I am. The light turned green, but I couldn't shake the feeling that I had to see her, even if it was just for a moment. I turned on my favorite Future Cop song, Lavender Skies, and I accelerated, pulling up alongside her as she continued to walk along the sidewalk. The familiar uncertainty crept in. Would she remember me after all these years? Probably because I still looked the same as I did 5 years ago. Like a piece of shit. "Hey, Alice," I called out, rolling down my window. Alice turned, her eyes widened in surprise. For a moment, her expression mirrored the shock and disbelief in my own heart. Then a warm smile spread across her face. "David? Is that really you?" I nodded, a mix of joy and relief washing over me. "Yeah, It's me. I pull over to the side of the road, against the curb, in the pale glow of the streetlights. Alice and I exchange stories of the years gone by. Life had thrown its curveballs at both of us. She had pursued her career, moving to the city, while I had become increasingly reclusive. I saw your car, Alice said, breaking the momentary silence that settled between us. What are you doing out so late? I sighed, my voice carrying the weight of my loneliness. I guess I just need to get away from it all, even if it's just for a little while. Alice's eyes softened with empathy. Mind if I join you? It's been a long day for me, too. I smiled, a genuine one this time. I'd like that. With a sense of serendipity in the air, Alice and I embarked on a late-night drive through the bustling city streets. The neon lights seemed to shine a bit brighter. The laughter of strangers passing by sounded a bit warmer. We talked about our dreams, our disappointments, and our newfound wisdom. As the hours ticked by, our connection rekindled, and the lonely night transformed into a shared journey of healing. My heart, which felt so heavy before, began to feel a little lighter with Alice's presence by my side. For the first time in a long time, I didn't feel so alone. She asked me if I wanted to take her with me somewhere that was far away and start a whole new life together. I said that I have to be to work tomorrow at 8. So no. I dropped her back off where I picked her up. That was a night I will never forget. Sometimes in the vastness of life, unexpected encounters with old friends can be the balm that soothes a wounded heart. And on this magical night, as the city buzzed around us, Alice and I found solace in each other's company, reminding me that even in the darkest hours, connections could be rediscovered and loneliness could be eased with a simple conversation and a late-night drive. It just sucks that I had to work in the morning. Wow, there's a lot to take in that story. So you got a guy that was lonely sitting in his apartment. I guess he was feeling rather depressed from all the stuff that has been going on in his life. I guess he feels underwhelmed by his own life. He's not enjoying life, and he's sad. So he just wanted to go out for a late night drive, go around, kind of clear his thoughts, listen to some of his music that he enjoys, you know, and just kind of clear his head. And then, you know, and he's lonely, you know, so he's kind of like just desperate. He's just kind of looking around, you know, and just hoping to find something, anything that would kind of bring him any kind of sense of hope. And then out of nowhere, boom, he sees Alice, an old friend of his who he recognized and she recognized back, someone that he hadn't seen in 5 years. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, 5 years, that's a long time, you know, that's a long time for two people, you know. So he builds up the courage. He says, hey, you know, and then she says, David, is that you? And yes, it's him. And, you know, and then they have this conversation, you know, and she asks for a ride and, or she asks to join him. He says, yes, she gets in the car and then, you know, they go off and they have a great conversation and they're bonding and stuff. And she asks if they can go off together and start a whole new life together. But David has to work in the morning. That sucks, man. That's rough. I mean, probably should have just called off work that morning, bud. You know, this is probably why you're lonely. You know, this is the type of decisions that you make that lead you to have such a miserable life. When you have opportunities like this, you cannot go to work. Okay? You gotta call off. There's so many things you could say. You could say you know that your stomach hurts, you have diarrhea, your ears hurt. You know, you could say that, you know, or you don't even have to say anything. You just say you want to take a personal day. You know, and the fact that you're turning down a possible good thing just because you have to work in the morning, that just probably says that you have too good of a work ethic. Like, too good. You probably can't afford to take a day off. What are you doing, dude? Take the fucking day off. that just blows my mind, man. That just blows my mind. Why would you do that? This was a great story. Everything, it was romantic. The setup was great. I mean, it was well worded. Everything was great. But then you had to work in the morning? Come on. Come on. Nobody in their right mind, nobody, is saying no to Alice in that situation. I'm sorry. But, yeah, you fucked up, dude. And this is why you're lonely. You deserve that shit. My next story is a wild one. Now, this is not a romantic story by any means. This story is about two old foes teaming up to conquer to conquer something that's bigger than them. Okay, these are two old enemies that are put in a very bizarre situation. Here's the story. In the dimly lit, smoke-filled bar of the 1980s, Rick found himself nursing a whiskey and reminiscing about his wild youth. He hadn't been in this place for years, but tonight he was feeling nostalgic and was hoping to get laid. Little did he know that nostalgia would soon turn into a turbulent journey down memory lane. As he swirled the amber liquid in his glass, Rick spotted a familiar face at the bar. It was Mark, the guy who had dated his high school sweetheart, Lisa, right after they had broken up. Old wounds still stung, and the animosity between them was palpable. Rick clenched his fist and walked over. "Mark, you son of a bitch," he growled. "Didn't expect to see you here." Mark turned, surprise flashing in his eyes. "Rick? Well, well, what a coincidence." Words quickly turned into heated exchanges, and before long, fists were flying. The bar erupted into chaos, with patrons cheering on their chosen fighter. But just as Rick and Mark were grappling on the floor, the door swung open with a loud crash. In walked a formidable group of bikers, their leather jackets adorned with patches, displaying the emblem of the Hell's Vipers. They scanned the room, and their leader, a burly man with a grizzled beard, spotted the brawl in progress. He cracked his knuckles menacingly. "Hey, you two lovebirds," he barked. "You've got two options. Either you settle your differences right here, right now, or you take on the Hell's Vipers in a game of darts. Loser faces our special brand of hospitality." Rick and Mark exchanged nervous glances, but quickly realized they had no choice but to team up if they wanted to avoid a thrashing from the bikers. They nodded in agreement. The bikers brought a battered old dartboard, and Rick and Mark, their tension momentarily forgotten, focused on the task at hand. They had always been competitive, and this was their chance to prove they could work together. The game was intense. Rick and Mark's dart throwing skills, honed during their college years, served them well. They hit bullseyes, triple 20s, and double bullseyes with precision. The bikers, though, menacing in appearance, turned out to be rather mediocre dart players. Then something weird had taken over Rick and Mark as they were each taking their turns. They would quickly say a joke before each throw. "You know why you should never fight a broken door? Because they become completely unhinged," Rick said before landing a 20. "Why did the straw get kicked out of the bar?" "For causing a stir," Mark said, before hitting a bullseye. The crowd was in complete shock and couldn't believe how much Rick and Mark had in common with telling awful, awful jokes. In a matter of minutes, Rick and Mark scored the winning points, hitting a double bullseye in unison. The bikers begrudgingly applauded their skill and backed off, leaving the bar with their pride intact. Rick and Mark, still panting from adrenaline of the dart match, looked at each other and shared a weary but genuine smile. The old rivalry had been put to rest. replaced by a newfound camaraderie forged in the crucible of an unexpected adventure. As they sat back down at the bar, nursing their wounds and their drinks, they both realized that sometimes even the most bitter of enemies could become the best of friends under the most bizarre circumstances. And so, in that smoky bar of the 1980s, they raised their glasses to a truce sealed with bullseyes, a truce that would last a lifetime. Rick then asked, "So Mark, you still have Lisa's number?" They both laughed, and time went on. End of story. All right, so here you have two people that know each other from high school. I guess they were pissed off at each other because one took the other one's girlfriend. And, you know, he ran into that guy years later at the smoky bar and he recognized him. He went up to him. He said, "Hey, you son of a bitch, you're the guy that stole my girlfriend." And he was like, "Yeah, I did. What do you want to do about it?" And he was like, "I'm going to throw some hands. I want some smoke." And they started fighting each other. But then, as they were fighting each other, this fucking gang just walks in. This biker gang just walks in and they're just like, "Hey, you two need to chill out. You two need to stop fighting. And if you want to get competitive into something, how about you challenge us to a game of darts? And if you lose, then you're going to have to face some real consequences by this biker gang called the Hell's Vipers." You know, Mark and Rick, they didn't have any other choice. They had nothing. They did not have anything. They didn't have another choice. They had to team up. You know, it was either that or, you know, get taken out back and get fucking beaten and whooped up on by these bikers. They did what they had to do, and I respect them for that. You know, but anyway, so it turns out, you know, they team up and they start playing darts. They realize that they're kicking ass. And they're like, "Dang, dude, these bikers suck." You know, and they're in a good, you know, when you're winning, especially at like bar games and stuff, that puts you in a weird good mood. Some of the best moods I've ever been in is from playing darts or like beer pong at a house party or a bar. Like, there's something about it, man. When you're just hanging out with your friends, you're just listening to some music and you're winning. You're fucking winning. You're just fucking hitting every single cup, man. That does something to you. Like, and then there's something about it, like the energy, you know, between you and your partner. You got, you know, there's something that, there's the chemistry. There's just something that passes between the both of you. It's a connection, you know, it's a real connection. It's hard to explain. If you've ever been in a situation like that, you know, like bar games are fun. And they're fun for that reason, because you connect with your partners and your friends. And, you know, and just when you're just kicking ass like that, you just start saying everything's funny. Everything is hilarious. It doesn't matter what you say. Everything is funny. You just start making jokes, you know, you start saying dad jokes and even the bad ones are funny. Like, everything is hilarious. You know, you say jokes like, like you start saying stuff like, "I dated a zombie once. When we broke up, she fell apart." You know, you like, literally, like, everything's funny. You say stuff like, "I accidentally broke the leg on my tripod, and I can't stand it anymore." You know, you just start saying stuff like that, you know. So, anyways, bar jokes or bar games, they're fun and stuff like that. That explains why these two connected, you know, really well, even though they were just fighting each other moments before. They started, you know, they kind of loosened up a little bit. They played a bar game. They started playing darts. And they started whooping ass. And that put them in a good mood. And then they just started cracking jokes. And they were, you know, I guess they were cracking each other up. And, you know, they just laughed their way to victory, you know. And now they're friends. And they buried the hatchet. And, yeah, so great story. I love stories like this. It's very inspiring. Makes me just want to go out to a bar and, you know, and meet somebody new and say, "Hey, you want to throw some darts? Maybe we become friends. Maybe we become best friends after this." All right. Well, that's all I got for this podcast. I want to say thank you to everyone who clicked and listened to this whole thing. Those were some wild stories. And I look forward to more episodes down the road. There probably will be some more stories. If you like those stories, please let me know. And I'll for sure do more stories like that, or have more episodes like this one. I also am looking to have guests on in the future. Have some people on to, help me talk about some, or to talk with me about some nostalgic things, talking about video games and movies and everything. And I'm also looking to starting back up another one of my old podcasts called Real Impossible with my friend Jason. I don't know if that's what it's going to be called. We don't know what the new name is going to be, but you're going to be hearing more from it pretty soon, and we're going to be talking about movies on that one. So, stay tuned. Follow me on all my socials. I am BennyB278 on TikTok, and yeah, just follow me there. If you have any questions, just let me know. And if you like this, hit like, follow, subscribe, do whatever you got to do to, keep track of this podcast. This is the second episode into the relaunch, and so far things are going good. So, anyways, yeah. So, anyways, thanks again, everyone, for listening. Take care. Hope you have a great weekend, and later.